Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Teak. David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, MLB analyst, former team president for the Marlins. Let's get into the baseball stuff now. David, it's been a little bit, but we have had you on the show before. Welcome back. How you been?
Hey, thank you. Happy to be here. It's a great time of year.
It really is. It's a terrific time of the year, and we're faced with four terrific teams with diverse talents, passionate fan bases, really good brand of baseball. But before we get into the specific matchups, and so I want to ask you about Giancarlo Stanton, who you had with the Marlins. And, you know, what I see, David, I see way too many empty at-bats. I know that there's a transition to playing in New York, because I saw this day-to-day with my own eyes with Alex Rodriguez. I get that. But to me, Alex was more of an emotional obstacle. He had to kind of slow down his heartbeat and not try to do too much. I don't know if this is reckless to suggest. I think that Stanton's got to overhaul some mechanics this offseason if he really wants to be a factor in October.
Well, I would only tell you that I think that overhauling mechanics for an 8-year veteran with the highest contract in sports history with a National League MVP award, I think that's probably not going to happen. I think what you're talking about is his propensity when he looks bad to look really bad. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have that when you're on the roller coaster. You're going to have some lows, but if you don't have those lows, then you won't ever feel the highs. And the highs are when he can carry your team, which he did for a lot of the time while Judge was hurt this year.
Yeah.
There are certain players that are merry-go-rounds, and that's not Stanton.
I don't question his ability to get as high as anybody in the last 30 years, maybe ever. I mean, when he's rolling, he's a one-man wrecking machine. I guess my concern, and I hear you, to overhaul the swing this deep, it's a little dangerous. You just look up against good pitching in October, you know, flailing at sliders, 0-1, 0-2, very non-productive at-bats. And I don't see, you know, David Ortiz didn't do that. You know, I don't see the hitters in the middle of the lineups of champions do that. And it's a concern. Quite frankly,
right. I would tell you this, that it sounds really cool for you to say that David Ortiz never did that. But of course, David Ortiz flailed at sliders on 0-2 pitches from time to time. Of course, he struck out. Of course, he didn't come through all the time. That's just baseball. And we tend to only remember the positive as the years pass. But in the immediate present, we only remember the negative.
Well, Dave, hold on. With all due respect, David Poppy's one of the best October players of all time. That's indisputable. I mean, of course he made outs.
I hear you. But Stanton right now, and I'm not defending Stanton. I've seen him swing at more 0-2 sliders than anyone has because I watched every at-bat his whole career.
Yeah.
So I get it. What I'm saying is that to call – this original conversation was calling for an overhaul and saying, is he going to potentially recover from this October? The answer is he is who he is, and he will be flailing at sliders for his whole career. And he'll hit mistakes 600 feet for his whole career.
Yeah.
That's just sort of what it is, and it's not going to change.
Well, that's not good for the Yankees then, but I got you. Okay.
Well, they didn't lose this series because of Stanton. They lost because Boston was a better team 1 through 25. I was talking about it all since July 31st. The Yankees didn't have enough pitching. They went to fortify their bullpen.
Yeah.
But what good is the bullpen if your starters are giving up the lead every game?
Oh, I agree. I mean, listen, I picked the Red Sox to win the series. I know the Red Sox are better. They're better on the bases. I think they're better in the field for sure. I think they have a better manager right now. I don't want to do 10 minutes on Stanton here. I just wanted to run that by because you know him. And you know what you saw, and I know what I saw, and we saw the same things. I just wanted to throw it by you. That's all.
No, that was great.
Okay.
You know, Dave, let's move on to the ALCS and the NLCS, particularly the National League. Tell me why we should be excited about the Milwaukee Brewers, because it looks like they have a serious chance to move forward and get into the World Series.
Well, the first thing that excites me is that I have a chance to watch a left-handed reliever, the likes of which I'm not sure I've ever seen before in all of my 18 years in baseball, the guy named Josh Hader. If you haven't seen him, he is worth the price of admission because he makes really good hitters look foolish. And the reason is he's got maximum deception. The hitters cannot pick up the ball until much later with Hader than they do with other pitchers because he sort of hides it a la Randy Johnson. Hmm. He comes from a weird three-quarter, and he's throwing 98.
Yeah.
So it's just fun to watch. What I don't like watching in that series is Yasiel Puig, who is, you know, the guy who guaranteed they're going to win the World Series, took his shirt off and started biting beer bottles and snapping bats across his thigh. And all the other stuff he does for attention, when all I want him to do is have a good at-bat.
Yeah,
that would be my preference for
Puig. Dave, interestingly, last night, the Brewers are up 4-0. They do bring in Josh Hader. He throws 8 pitches. He doesn't often pitch in back-to-back games. Does that compromise them? Or was Craig Counsell just thinking, let's get the advantage. Let's get this 2-1 advantage now, and then we'll worry about tomorrow. Kind of similar to how a lot of other managers have spent this offseason in the bullpenning ages. What danger was there in bringing him into a game where maybe they didn't necessarily need him yesterday?
You know, it's funny. As an insider who was president of a World Series team, what I always liked hearing from outside people in the organization or fans or anybody was, hey, this game's in the bag. We got it at 4-0.
Yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable that we were going to win a game in the postseason until the 27th out was recorded. So I get why Counsell said, hey, 4-0. Look what happened in the ninth, by the way. They brought the tying run to the plate before you could even breathe, except the Dodgers had the worst hitting approach and couldn't tie it up. So I get why Counsell brought in Hader at 4-0. He had Woodruff and Jeffress up in case they added on runs. Then he would not have brought Hader back for a second inning. And then he still didn't bring Hader back for the ninth, which I would have done when the Brewers didn't score. That said, Counsell said we've got to win a game without Hader. I don't agree. Hader will appear in 4 games out of the next he'll 4 total games in the series. The Brewers have to win every game that Hader appears in, and they'll go to the World Series. So far, they're 2-for-2.
Yeah, David Sampson with us here, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, former Marlins team president as well. Just jump over to the AL here, the Red Sox and the Astros, and Uvaldi's, I mean, he's got just filthy stuff, and he's had his elbow repaired a few times, as you well know, but when he's on, he is tough to hit. Dallas Keuchel, really the complete antithesis. Not that he's easy to hit, but his style is so different. Why the fluctuations in his performance? I know he's a spot location guy. Is there anything more, like if he's not, is it just that when he doesn't hit spots, he's hittable, or is there something deeper? Yeah, Keuchel.
Do you want to talk Keuchel first or Uvaldi?
Just Keuchel, because Uvaldi throws cheese. We know what he does. Keuchel,
just quickly on Uvaldi, he developed a cutter that he never had with the Marlins, and that cutter has been amazing for him. As for Keuchel, he's a guy, he has a hard time repeating his delivery, and he cannot trick people if he's not in the same release point. And what we always said about Keuchel is we'd want him on our team, but we always had him as a 2-3, and he pitches a lot like a 3. And that's okay for the Astros because they've got a 1-2 in Verlander and Cole. I like this matchup for Houston tonight. I like the Astros against Eovaldi, and I don't like the Red Sox against Keuchel. I think the Red Sox are in trouble in this series, even though I predicted it would go 7 with the Astros winning. I don't know that it will go 7.
Oh, might be maybe a little in-series adjustment. That's interesting. You mentioned Verlander, and I said to Teak, I guess it was about 2 weeks or so ago, Teak, a winning percentage aside, and he's not going to get to the benchmark 300 wins, I mean, unless something crazy happens and he pitches for 7 or 8 more years. I believe that, you know, these moments for Verlander are really paramount when it's all said and done and whether or not he gets to Cooperstown. Do you view him as a Hall of Famer right now?
You know, it's interesting you say that because we debate that all the time. Have the numbers changed with what's an automatic entry into the Hall of Fame? And they have to because wins are not happening anymore in baseball. No one's going to get 300 wins, so we have to adjust that down. Verlander is one of the top 5 pitchers of an entire generation of pitchers. So for me, he's a Hall of Famer. What he's doing in the postseason and what he did last year, and if the Astros can repeat and he's got 2 rings and he leads them as their ace, I believe that he has punched his ticket to Cooperstown and he deserves it.
I share that enthusiasm. I'm curious, David. Like
but only if he brings Kate Upton
Then we'll make them first ballot, right? What do you make them wait too long? The who are the other four people? I mean, you, I imagine you put on Kershaw. Who else? You said five pitchers of his generation. Who else would you lump in there?
I do Kershaw, and I'm a postseason guy. And okay. I know it's crazy, but I Madison Bumgarner, for me, you talk about a guy with three rings who is unhittable in the postseason. You've got to say that he's one of the best pitchers.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
I put Verlander in there.
Yeah.
And as a Yankee guy and a New Yorker, I'm going to put C.C. Sabathia in, but not today's C.C. Sabathia.
Yeah.
He is not – let's not focus on what he is this year. He certainly should not be in the rotation next year for the Yankees.
Yeah.
He's hurt. He's too big to pitch. But back in his prime – he was unhittable. We couldn't figure out a game plan against him, and that's what I look at for ace pitchers. There aren't many aces. Can you not even game plan against them? And that's what CC used to be.
And he was a throwback. When he went to the Brewers, he was pitching every third day, hit a couple of home runs, too. So you're right. CC at his prime was a beast, and I think people forget that a little bit.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like the old poem, "To an athlete dying young." When they die young, meaning they're out of the game, people only remember the greatness. And when they hang on too long, you start to forget the greatness.
It's true.
And that's unfortunately where CC is right now.
No, you're right. That's David, one more before we let you go here. About a little less than a week ago, you talked about how MLB really wants the Dodgers to be in the World Series, preferably Dodgers-Red Sox. That would be amazing. Two aged fan bases, generational fan bases against each other. It may or may not happen. But why do you think that Major League Baseball doesn't want a team like the Brewers there? Is it just too small, even though it is a great story?
One of the answers to almost any question you could ask is one word. With five letters, starts with M and ends with Y. So I think that's
Manny?
Okay. I mean, we should see exactly Manny Ramirez.
Bring him back.
and listen, I'm not afraid to talk about it, and we should talk about it. I was in Miami. It was not a large market, and in 2003, there's not one person who was rooting for the Marlins over the Cubs, having nothing to do with anything other than the Cubs in the World Series would bring more eyeballs and more money and higher rights deals going forward, more money to the other owners, money, 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 money. Milwaukee just doesn't do that. And all I said, and it created quite a Twitter storm, but it makes perfect sense. Yeah. Of course MLB doesn't want Milwaukee in the World Series. That is when the casual fan is turning on the TV. They don't want to see Milwaukee. They want to see stars. They want to see Hollywood. They want to see big markets tuning in with an over 40 share. Keep in mind the Patriots outrated the Red Sox on when Brady was playing the Chiefs on Sunday night.
I saw that.
So that's what baseball's focused on. How do we catch the NFL? How do we increase revenue so owners can have more and therefore players will have more?
What a shame. And what a shift in dynamic and the template, because the Brewers, I said this to Tiki the other day as well, really, the first World Series, I was playing Little League. I was obviously, and still am, a Yankees fan. But the 82 World Series, one of the best of all, at least for me, it was during my formative years. The Brewers, the Cardinals, seven games. I mean, Harvey's Wallbangers, Whitey Herzog, Cecil Cooper, Ben Ogilvie, Moose Haas, Raleigh Fingers, Jim Gantner, Robin Gant. I mean, so to me as a young kid, I didn't give a damn if they were playing in Pluto or on Pluto or in Milwaukee. It was a good brand of baseball. It's a shame that that's actually changed and drives the bus. But we know it does.
I hate to put you on the spot, but who was the MVP of that series?
The MVP of – was it Bruce Sutter?
Daryl Porter.
Daryl Porter, the catcher. That's right, Daryl Porter. Daryl Porter.
It was unreal. That was a great series.
That was a good series.
Molitor and Cooper. And loved it.
Yeah,
loved it. I'm a Milwaukee guy. Harvey's Wallbangers.
You grew up in Wisconsin. I give that team love. They had sweet uniforms. They had great fans. That was terrific. And let me ask you, I know we got to run here, but real fast, where's Bryce Harper wind up?
You're gonna be upset with my answer.
No,
answer
I think it's gonna be the Cubs. The Cubs.
No, it's actually whoever offers $1 more. And that's really, and everyone
really?
Who predicts, and now I'm on the other side, I'm sort of on the media side, and I'm never going to be the one scooping where he goes, because I've been there negotiating, and I know that owners can get a little wacky and all of a sudden increase their offer at the last minute. The Marlins were going to sign Pujols in 2012, went to bed thinking we had him, woke up, and Artie Moreno added $30 million, and he was an Anaheim Angel.
Oh.
So it's impossible to predict. But I do know that all thoughts of loyalty are untrue. When you've got Scott Boras as your agent, you are loyal to your pocketbook. And there's nothing wrong with that,
no,
but at least admit it.
But do you believe the Nationals will at least be in the conversation to provide $1 more than his other suitors, what it's all said and done? Because I don't.
I do not. It's not the way of the learners to do that, although they have bailed out Scott Boras more than any other owner really in baseball.
Yep.
But I don't think Harper will need bailing out the way some other players have.
All right, David
Sampson. Just take a look at Machado and him not hustling. That hurt him. Mm-hmm. You know, Harper hustles. Harper's a gamer. If I have a choice between Harper and Machado as a team president, I'm going Harper 10 out of 10 times.
I would agree with that. I believe there's a lot more to Harper. We could keep going, but I agree with that assertion. I would prefer Harper over Machado as well. Good chat, brother. Thank you, David. Appreciate you hopping on.
Hey, my pleasure. We'll do it again. Take care.
All right. David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst and former president for the Marlins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.